friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sponty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young, broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to the July 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with the world of football, where English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka has penned an emotional message after facing an onslaught of racist abuse online following England's 3-2 championship loss to Italy. In a message directed at the Instagram, Twitter and Facebook companies, the Arsenal star said he didn't quote-unquote want any child or adult to have to receive the hateful and hurtful messages that were directed toward him and his teammates Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho after the three black players missed penalty kicks. The 19-year-old also vowed to return stronger to the pitch, saying, and I quote, "I was hurting so much and I felt like I'd let you all and my England family down. But I can promise you this, I will not let that moment or the negativity that I received this week break me." End of quote. Twitter reported earlier this week that it had removed offensive comments directed toward the players and suspended several accounts for violating its rules. Four people have since been arrested, that's according to the National Police Chiefs Council, with the UK Football Policing Unit also carrying out investigations for potential hate crimes linked to the online abuse.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, crisis in the Caribbean. In the wake of the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, how best can the United States help Haiti pursue justice? And what role should Washington play in addressing the popular protests against the Cuban government? We'll talk with two regional experts about U.S. policy toward Haiti and Cuba. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Welcome back. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news is Samson O'Malley. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Prince Nesta. We begin the wrap of African sport action for this weekend with the 2020-2021 CAF Champions League finals, where South Africa's Kaizer Chiefs will face Egypt's Al Ahly on Saturday, the 17th of July 2021 at the Complex Mohamed V Stadium in Casablanca, Morocco. This will be the fourth CAF Champions League final between teams from South Africa and Egypt, with Al Ahly winning two for the Egyptians, that's against Mamelodi Sundowns in 2001 and Orlando Pirates in 2013, and Mamelodi Sundowns defeating Zamalek in 2016. Kaizer Chiefs are the first team to reach the final of the CAF Champions League in their debut season in the competition since AS Vita Club in 2014. While they could become the third team from South Africa to win the CAF Champions League after Orlando Pirates in 1995 and Mamelodi Sundowns in 2016. Kaizer Chiefs sporting director Kaiser Mwatang and Jessica Mwatang, the marketing director, reflect on the chances of the South African side ahead of Saturday's finals.
The Champions League in itself is, you know, we stand with giants have gone before us, and you know, with all that has been achieved at this great institution, no Corsi warrior, Corsi player has ever edged and put their foot in a Champions League final. And I think that's it's a very unique opportunity for everyone right now, but at the same time, it comes with great responsibility. And bigger than that, you know, the football, importance of football in this country and how it unifies people will play another massive role, because we know that we're not just representing ourselves as a Corsi nation, but we're actually representing the entire nation of South Africa.
This journey to the CAF Champions League final has been an incredible journey. Incredible for the Chiefs brand, not just at a footballing level, but for our brand and touching our supporters on the continent.
To preview Saturday's CAF Champions League final, I spoke with Pam Dole, Deji Ogunyinbo, and Ferdinand Ubum, who are all radio football analysts. I wanted to find out from them what type of finals should we expect from both teams.
The coach for Al Ahly is a South African, one man who's not strange to success in the CAF Champions League. Yes, he's one man that would want to establish himself as one who has done it both at home and away. And then you look at the South African African side, they are a side that parade not just South Africans, but a good number of names from outside of South Africa. They also want to make a point that this is their time.
This is one final for the ages in which Al Ahly are going for their ninth CAF Champions League title. They are real when it comes to this competition, and they have proved their worth, breezing past opposition with pretty ease. And against the Kaizer Chiefs, who are making their debut appearance, the Amakosi will look to make sure that they cause an upset. But I mean, it's been a long time South African team got to the final, about 3-4 years ago, where it was all our dogs, the Mamelodi Sundowns team. But this time around, they are representing South Africa, and they'll be hoping to put spanner in the works of Al Ahly winning their ninth title.
It is expected to be a great finale, as both sides are heavyweights in their respective leagues. And that is quite understandable, because while Ali are second on the Egyptian top flight log, behind eternal rival Zamalek, Kaizer Chiefs are languishing on the eighth spot. But not to take anything away from both sides, getting to the final is no mean an achievement. So everyone should expect great artistry from both sides.
Staying with football news, South Africa are set to take on Mozambique in the 2021 COSAFA Cup semi-final match at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium this weekend. Bafana Bafana's preparation for Friday's Southern Africa Regional Tournament, the COSAFA Cup semi-final against Mozambique, have suffered a setback after two members of the camp tested positive for COVID-19. Bafana Bafana eased into the knockout phase after finishing at the top of Group A, having recorded three victories and a draw. Meanwhile, Mozambique reached the semi-finals after finishing second in Group B, having registered two wins, one draw and one defeat. The winner between South Africa and Mozambique will face either Senegal or Eswatini in the finals on Sunday. And from one regional tournament to another, this time around, the Council of East and Central Africa Football Association Championship, popularly known as the CECAFA Championship, is set to kick off on Sunday, July 18th, 2021. The tournament will be held in the Ethiopian city of Bahir Dar from July 18th to the 31st. A total of 9 countries will be participating. Uganda, Tanzania, DR Congo are in Group A, while Group B includes Ethiopia, Burundi, Eritrea. Group C will have Djibouti, South Sudan, and Kenya. The finals of the tournament is set for Friday, July 30th, 2021. Roger Mulindra is the CECAFA media officer. He explains that event organizers are aware of COVID-19 and its implication and its expected impact on the tournament.
We are telling those who are traveling, because even in Uganda we have delegations besides the team, we also have CECAFA officials traveling, and we are telling them, your results must be within 48 hours, the results of your COVID-19 test. By the time you arrive in Addis Ababa, at least 48 hours, because there is that other movement that you have to continue up to the venue of the tournament. We are also saying the players and officials of every delegation will be subjected to mandatory COVID-19 testing every after 48 hours. But that is at the cost of the organizers. 48 hours, which is 2 days, before you play your next match. Because when you look at the fixtures, there are matches that have to be played almost after 2-3 days.
Uganda are the defending champions after winning the 2019 edition on home soil. In women football news, Black Queens of Ghana, Bayana Bayana of South Africa, as well as the Indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon, including Morocco and Mali, will all square up against the Super Falcons of Nigeria in the maiden edition of the Aisha Buhari Invitational Women's Football Tournament scheduled for Lagos. The Nigerian Football Federation confirmed the list of the 5 participating countries, including host Nigeria, on Thursday. The city of Lagos will host the Six Nations Invitational in September for a glittering trophy named in honor of Nigeria's First Lady Aisha Buhari. Staying with women's football, Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwenwenwa has promised that his administration will continue to invest in women's football as he aims to see Harambee Starlets qualify for the 2023 World Cup and the 2022 African Women's Cup of Nations. He was speaking when he launched the FKF Women's Football Strategy 2021 to 2027, an event attended by some of the Starlet players and women's football stakeholders.
2021 to 2027. We're looking at a span of 2 World Cups. Sometimes we never say for sure we will qualify. So it's good to give you a chance, yourself a chance for two shots while I'm here. 23 and 27 is a span for this strategy.
In basketball news, Rwanda national women's basketball team will be looking for a crucial two-side square off on Friday in the semifinals of the ongoing AfroBasket Zone 5 qualifiers. The winner of the Rwanda versus Kenya game will meet the winner of the second semifinal game involving Egypt and South Sudan at the Kigali Arena. And now to some Africa Olympic news update. It's exactly 7 days before the opening ceremony of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. And as participating countries prepare to win medals for their countries, African countries are also hoping to improve on their past performance. South Africa will be competing in 17 of the 33 Olympic sports on offer at this year's Games, including newly introduced sports, skateboarding and sport climbing. South Africa will have a squad of 185 athletes, making it the largest contingent the country has ever sent to the Olympics, beating out Rio's 137 athletes sent. President of the South Africa Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, Barry Hendricks, speaks on their medal prospects.
Look at Makhani Simbine's results in the 100 meters. So we are pinning our hopes on those athletes who come through. We're very disappointed with Kasta, of course. But we know in our hearts that our athletes in the swimming pool and on the athletics track and even in the rowing stand a chance, and the rugby stand a chance of winning. And our thoughts and our pride and our passions behind them.
Three members of the Mozambican delegation to the Tokyo Olympic Games have tested positive for the coronavirus. The Mozambique Olympic Committee, in a statement on Thursday, said the three positive cases were detected during the daily test, which all members of the delegation must take. All three cases are asymptomatic. And to Cameroon, where Team Cameroon will be presenting 12 athletes from 7 disciplines at the Tokyo Olympic Games. The team will be led by 33-year-old female wrestler Joseph Emiliene Tiako Osumbe. With barely 7 days before the start of the Games, team physiotherapist Mbawe Peter says the athletes who are lodging in Hita, one of Japan's towns, are in top shape, waiting for the Olympic Games to begin.
Our athletes are concerned. Everybody's okay, right up to date. We follow them very, very closely, and back at the hotel we have established a program which helps them in recovering and relaxation massage programmed to prevent cramps. The environment is very, very conducive for a training session like this, and I think that they would appreciate the programs that the trainers have put in place. The performance of all the athletes, I think it's good.
And in Olympic basketball news, the U.S. Women Olympic team is scheduled to play its final exhibition game on Sunday against the Nigerian female national basketball team, the Tigress. The Nigerians are 17th in the world. On Wednesday, basketball's world governing body denied WNBA players of Nigerian origin, Nneka Ogwumike and Elizabeth Williams, the right to play on the Nigerian national team in the Tokyo Olympics. FIBA said it denied the players' petitions to play for Nigeria due to their substantial involvement of more than 10 years with USA basketball.
Thing Samson and Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to the Olympics, Ugandan weightlifter Julius Sekitoleko went missing from his training camp in the town of Irzumisano, Japan on Friday, and local officials are searching for him. Sekitoleko failed to send a saliva test for COVID-19 at noon as scheduled and was not in his hotel room. The team is in quarantine after a coach and an athlete tested positive for COVID-19. Much of Japan remains under pandemic restrictions, and many Japanese people postponing the games this year, fearing it could worsen the growing number of cases.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In other Olympic news, 2016 silver medalist Julius Diego of Kenya hopes to get on the medals podium again in Tokyo. The 32-year-old, who also won a world title in 2015 in the men's javelin throw, spoke with me about his Olympic preparations.
Preparation is going on well. We're happy that we are almost there, having lost last year due to COVID issues. But I'm excited to go back to another Olympics, so it's fun. It's fun. Training is okay. I think I'm almost there. By the time we reach Olympics, I'm sure I will be ready.
Last year, COVID left a mess. How was it with you? I mean, did it affect your plans?
Yeah, so having the whole year out without any competition was something which has never happened before. But we have to accept it anyway. It affected everybody else. Of course, major issue was the Olympics getting postponed. You know, that preparation mood for a major championship, we lost it because we knew that the whole year we will not be able to have the Olympics. We had some other competitions to compete in, but then with the issue of travels and all that, for me, I didn't compete anywhere last year. And I think it really affected even like picking up the form on time. I think it really affected me, but I'm happy, I'm healthy now, and going on with my training well, and hopefully I'll have a very good competition in Tokyo.
You've talked about you're happy, you're healthy now. So just to confirm that, are you in shape or do you have any sort of injury concerns?
Luckily, and I thank God, because I don't have any issues with injuries now, and I'm happy. That is the most important thing. And for the form, I think I'll be able to pick up form sooner before the Olympics, because you know, having also not competed on many competitions this year, I'm sure as I continue with my training, of course, the form will be there. I feel okay. I feel ready. I feel my body is again coming up. I can really push hard. So I'm happy, I'm healthy. And when you are healthy, that is the most important part of it. So I'm looking forward to competing in Tokyo.
So there's going to be some elite runners who are going to be representing Kenya. You are part of them. Eliud Kipchoge is going to be representing Kenya in the marathon. Hellen Obiri is also going to be representing Kenya in the long distances. How would you rate the preparations of the Olympics team, you being part of them?
The team is okay. The team is ready. You've seen even in the Diamond League of late that they have been doing so well. So I'm happy when you have such a team, you know, to carry that flag for Kenya. I promise that, you know, Kenyans and everybody else that will be cheering us, that, you know, I'm sure the performance we will have in Tokyo will be good performance. We expect to get a lot of medals. And, you know, I know it's a very difficult competition, but we have strong team. We will collect a lot of medals there. That is my prayer and hope. And I'm sure many Kenyans, or wherever they are playing for us, so we won't disappoint.
You've won the Commonwealth Games. You've won the African Games. You've won the World Championship. The only thing that is missing from your trophy cabinet basically is the Olympic gold medal, that is. What will it take for you to bring home the Olympic gold medal?
For me, I think what will make me to win that medal is a good mindset before that competition. And of late, you've seen big throws coming from the German. Johannes Feder has been doing amazingly for the last year, and this year he's been doing so well. But this is a championship. This is a different one from the Diamond League and all that. But with due respect, of course, he is a super talented athlete. But to me, I'm going to Olympics focusing on winning the gold medal. And winning the gold medal means I have to throw far. I have to set my mind that I need to throw over 90 meters for me to get the chances of winning a gold medal. At the moment, you can't throw less than 90 and expect a gold medal. It's difficult. It's difficult, yeah. So I'm going there with a mind of winning the title, and throwing over 90 meters is what is in my mind at the moment, because less than that, and then no chance of winning that.
If you win the gold medal, what will it mean for you, and what will it also mean for the African continent?
To me, that is a special moment. To win an Olympic gold medal is a special moment for me. Like, I've been dreaming to win a gold medal in the Olympics, because this is an event which comes after every 4 years. So it's a very big span of time, and sometimes you might be in good form and, you know, the Olympics is not there. So you have to wait for 4 years. And to me, if I win this gold medal, it's a special one to me, because it's a dream I've been having, like to win a gold medal in an Olympics. And to African continent, of course, it's where, you know, we're not known to be good in this thing. We have not been doing so well in the past. But I think if I win this one, it will be a special moment for Africa, that we are capable of doing this. Not only in long distance, we are capable of doing this in the sprints, in the field events. So, and it will be a wake-up call to, you know, the top management of sports in Africa, especially athletics, that we need to diversify our sport. We don't only dwell on a long distance, especially East Africa. We're known for long-distance running.
And, you know, you are an inspiration to many in the African continent and, of course, worldwide. What next for you after the Olympics?
After the Olympics, of course, if it will be a successful one for me, of course, I'll come back home, have some holiday, and wait for next year. We have the World Championship again in the US. So that is the plan we have. We focus now, after the World Championship, is to focus for next season, where we have the World Championship. And, you know, winning the World Championship, of course, is a glorious moment. And I'm sure that I have a very big, you know, cheering spot in the US. I remember when I was competing here in the Diamond League in 2016, and, you know, everybody was cheering for me. And I'm sure, you know, competing in that stadium is a special stadium. And you've seen that the performance of the US at times were amazing. Amazing records were broken there. So yeah, looking forward to competing at that. That's a special stadium.
Lastly, there are people listening to you right now. There are children listening to you right now. There are people who look up to you. You've got a big fan base that, you know, follows you. What did you tell that athlete who is coming up and is looking up to you?
Of course, what I will tell an upcoming athlete, someone who is looking upon me that as an inspiration, that just be yourself, believe in yourself. Nothing is impossible. And Eliud told us that no human is limited. And I believe in that, that you can do what you believe in and you will make it in life. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that maybe I've thrown 92 meters. So be yourself. Yes, take an inspiration from me, but don't try to be like Diego. Try to be yourself. I want somebody who is looking beyond 92 meters, someone who wants to throw even 100 meters. So believe in that and it will come out. I remember when I was still throwing 70s and 60s and watching the great athletes at the moment, at that moment, Andreas Stolkisten from Norway, Terupit Kamake from Finland, throwing 90 meters. To me, I always believe that one day I will be able to throw 90 meters. And it came out. So follow your dream and you will be able to make it. Of course, be disciplined, be prayerful as well, because without God, everything is flat. It's okay. But when you believe in God, pray, have vision, determination, and you will make it in life. Nothing is impossible. Follow your dream and all will come out.
That was 2016 Olympic silver medalist Julius Yego, and he spoke with me from Kenya about his Olympic preparations. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's wish a happy 39th birthday to Carly Lloyd, one of the greatest players in women's soccer history. The two-time FIFA Women's Player of the Year has scored 126 goals for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team during her long career, and she's now preparing for the Tokyo Olympics. VOA's Gwen Oten joins us now with an Olympic profile. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. Last month, Vlatko Andonovski, the head coach of the women's national soccer team, named the 18 players who will represent the United States at the upcoming Olympic Games. 17 athletes on the roster were part of the 2019 FIFA World Cup Championship team, including midfielder Carly Lloyd, who is no stranger to the Olympics. Lloyd scored goals at the Beijing Games in 2008 and the London Games in 2012. And she described to Reuters News how it feels to represent the United States again at the Olympic Games in Tokyo.
You know, it never gets old hearing congratulations, you're going to Tokyo type thing. I was extremely honored, grateful. And, you know, I think it's just great to know that the roster has been named. And you know, you can just kind of now take a deep breath and just focus all your energy on just doing everything possible to help the team win this gold medal. That's the That's the biggest thing, and it's going to take all 18 players to get this job done.
Lloyd's road to the upcoming Olympics hasn't always been smooth. In 2019, she was outspoken about her frustration with then-national team head coach Jill Ellis after Lloyd was downsized to the role of substitute during the 2020 World Cup tournament in France. A snub, the now 39-year-old believes, was based on her age and not her ability.
I think the biggest thing for me, you know, in prepping for that 2019 World Cup was I just felt as if I never had an opportunity to prove myself. I came back from an ankle injury in 2017 that I sustained with the Houston Dash in the NWSL. I was out for a bit. I came back and, you know, I just saw the writing on the wall. I felt like I was sort of being lumped in the Christy Pierce Rampone and Abby Wambach category of, you know, what am I going to be like in 2 years in 2019 World Cup, instead of what is Carly like right now? And if you prove yourself to 2019 and you're fit and sharp and performing, then that's the decision. It shouldn't be based solely on my age. So I felt as if coming back from that ankle injury, I never once, not one single time, in training sessions, in games, had an opportunity to prove myself. I was already being written off. I was already, you know, wanting to be pushed out of the way. But, you know, my biggest thing is just be so good they can't ignore you.
And Lloyd continues to live by that motto. In June, she became the oldest player to score for the U.S. women's national team after she netted the opening goal in an international friendly against Jamaica. The U.S. went on to win the match 4-0. Lloyd attributes her longevity in the sport to a high-protein diet with the help of her new sponsor, Gone Rogue Protein Snacks. But she hopes to be remembered for her age-defying talent on the pitch.
I didn't want things to be based on my age. I didn't want people to sit here and feed off of this nonsense that wasn't true, that I'm too old, I can't play 90 minutes. I'm playing 90 minutes. I'm fit. I'm one of the fittest on the team. And you have Vlatko not talking about my age. You know, Vlatko's given me an opportunity, just like everybody else, to perform and to play. And if you're good enough, you're going to make the roster and you're going to play. It's as simple as that. So I'm thankful that I've got a coach who isn't using my age against me, and he's giving me a fair shot.
We'll have her shot along with the rest of the U.S. women's soccer team for a fifth Olympic gold medal. The women are in Group G and will face Sweden in their opening match, followed by New Zealand and Australia. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The U.S. National Institute of Aging describes Alzheimer's disease as a progressive and irreversible brain condition that slowly destroys a person's memory and ability to think. It can also affect the patient's family and friends. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please listen to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA for a discussion on Alzheimer's disease and other forms of irreversible dementia. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Moving on to world boxing, two-time world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury's much-anticipated bout against former WBC heavyweight champion American Deontay Wilder has been rescheduled for 9th October at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The fight was originally scheduled for 24th July, but was postponed after the British heavyweight tested positive for COVID-19. Fury beat the 35-year-old American to become the WBC champion in February 2020, barely 14 months after both fighters shared an entertaining draw in Los Angeles. The 32-year-old British boxer is still unbeaten in his 31 fights, while Wilder, commonly referred to as the Bronze Bomber, has just one defeat in 44 fights. And that wraps up Friday, July 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mokbilia Barrow. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.